أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وله من في السماوات والأرض كل له قانتون وهو الذي يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده وهو أهون عليه وله المثل الأعلى في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. ضرب لكم مثلا من أنفسكم هل لكم مما ملكت أيمانكم من شركاء فيما رزقناكم فأنتم فيه سواء تخافونهم كخيفتكم أنفسكم كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يعقلون. بل اتبع الذين ظلموا أهواءهم بغير علم فمن يهدي من أضل الله وما لهم من ناصرين. فأقم وجهك للدين حنيفا فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. منيبين إليه واتقوه وأقيموا الصلاة ولا تكونوا من المشركين من الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعا كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون. وإذا مس الناس ضر دعوا ربهم منيبين إليه ثم إذا أذاقهم منه رحمة إذا فريق منهم بربهم يشركون. ليكفروا بما آتيناهم فتمتعوا فسوف تعلمون. أم أنزلنا عليهم سلطانا فهو يتكلم بما كانوا به يشركون. وإذا أذقنا الناس رحمة فرحوا بها وإن تصبهم سيئة بما قدمت أيديهم إذا هم يقنطون. أولم يروا أن الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يؤمنون.
We're continuing Surah Ar-Rum and we're starting today from ayah number 26. In the previous lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about His greatness and gave various examples which showed His greatness in terms of His creation, in terms of His creating the heavens and the earth and the male and the female and the spouses and even the lightning and the rain that comes down. And basically everything that we look and see around us, it is a reflection of the glory and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, the same theme will start again, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give examples of how a person can, using his own logic, he can understand the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how using one's own logic you can come to that conclusion. So, the lesson starts off, ayah number 26, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. And only for him is whatever is in the heavens and the earth, or whoever is in the heavens and the earth. Meaning everybody is subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody is the slave or servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everybody is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everybody is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, the order of the words is something to pay attention to. We've mentioned this before. It's actually lahu. It's supposed to be the end. It is supposed to be وَمَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ lahu. Okay, but when lahu is brought forward, it changes the meaning slightly, and the stress is put upon lahu. Only for him is whoever is in the heavens and the earth. كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. Everybody is submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All necks are subdued to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everybody is powerless in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody is qanit for him. And qanit means khadi', khashi'. Everybody is, again, the same meaning, subservient and humble, submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. He is the one who creates or begins the creation. He is the one who began everything, who started everything in terms of the creation, and then ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ, then he will make it return. وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ, and this is more simple for him. The question is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is simple for him. There is nothing that is more simple or less simple, or something is more difficult or less difficult. If you say that about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, you are comparing him to a human being who, for example, if I am told to write with my right hand something, it's easy for me to do that. But if I'm told to write something with my left hand, because I'm not left-handed, I cannot do anything. I cannot write properly with it. It will be just like a child scribbling. Okay, so if you are saying that one thing is easier for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are automatically saying the other thing is more difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does it mean here? That bringing back the creation is more easy for him. This is just for us to understand. And this is for our own logic and for our own understanding. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, He created us from nothing. He created us from nothing, He brought us into existence, and to bring something from nothingness into existence, it, you know, seemingly to our logic, is more difficult than a thing being already there and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returning it. So when He brought us, He created us, He brought us from nothingness into existence, but then when we die, then we have our remains, our bones, or whatever is going to be left of our original creation, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make us come alive from that. And seemingly, to our logic, it is more easier when the shape and the body or the skeleton or whatever is remaining of the body is there to bring it alive, is more easier than bringing into existence something that was not there in the first place. Okay, so that is for our logic. But in terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, there's nothing more easy or more difficult or anything like that. It is just for our understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using these examples. وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ, and this is more easier for him. وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and only for him is the highest example in the heavens and the earth. What is the highest example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is the example. He is the ilah worthy of worship. There is nobody else worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why He has the greatest example. He is the one who is worthy of worship and nobody else. And this is what it means by وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, only for Him is the greatest example in the heavens and the earth. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, and He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example, again, for us to use our own logic about the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we come to the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and there is nobody in partnership with Him? This is an example that He gives. Allah says, ضَرَبَ لَكُمْ مَثَلًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you an example from yourselves. Okay? Forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1 minute. But think about yourselves and your worldly interactions with each other. Just think about your worldly interactions with each other. What example is there? هَلَّكُمْ مِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ فَأَنْتُمْ فِيهِ سَوَاءٌ تَخَافُونَهُمْ كَخِيفَتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. He says that if you have any slaves, servants, employees — in those days people had slaves, and again this is a different issue as to what rights that Islam gave to the slaves. Before, slaves had no rights or anything. Islam gave rights to them for themselves to buy themselves out, to be set free, and so on and so forth. That is a different subject of discussion. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving an example. He says, from the slaves that you have, or we don't have slaves in this time, from your subordinates, from your servants, from your employees, okay, can the person who owns the company, who is the boss, can he make everybody equal to himself? It's not going to work. Because the person who is the boss of the company, he has an outlook, he has an ambition, he's put in so much work into that company that it's impossible for him to put a person that he hired yesterday and make them equal to himself. Because those people who he hires yesterday, they don't care about the company. They haven't put their blood and sweat into the company like he's been doing for so many years. So how can this person that just came into the company yesterday, how can he be equal to the boss on top? It's impossible. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of a slave. He said, هَلَّكُمْ مِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. From your slaves, can any of your slaves or your servants, can they be equal in that what we've bestowed upon you? Meaning, are you going to put them on an equal pedestal to yourself in your household? It's not going to happen. فَأَنْتُمْ فِيهِ سَوَى. To a degree that all of you become equal. تَخَافُونَهُمْ كَخِيفَتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. That you fear for them as you fear for yourself. No, a person is when he is in charge of or in authority of something, then obviously he's going to be worried about his own position, he's going to be worried about his own family, and he's going to be worried about his own interest. And anybody else that intervenes or comes in, nobody can have that kind of same interest. Okay, so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that in a worldly example, you cannot tolerate that somebody becomes equal to you, only within your own household, and yet for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to make equals to him. You want somebody to be equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is in charge of all the heavens and the earth. How? You know, what kind of logic, what kind of thinking is there in making a sharik with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making somebody equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It does not make sense. So Allah says, كَذَٰلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ. This is how we explain the ayat, the signs, for people who understand. So, just if you use that kind of logic, you know, how can we tolerate, you know, somebody to come in and just be an equal to us in our own household? It's not going to happen. Two bosses in one household, it does not work. So how can there be two gods, or more than two gods? It's not going to work. بَلِ اتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. So those people who do believe in that kind of thing, they are just following their desires. Allah says, those people that did dhulm, meaning their dhulm in taking other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as God, or making sharik with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are following their desires. بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Without knowledge. They don't understand, they don't ponder, they don't think. And if only they were to use these kinds of logics, they would understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is one and He's on His own. فَمَنْ يَهْدِي مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ يَهْدِي مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهِ وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. So who can guide whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has misguided, and for them there is no helper. So again, this concept of Allah misguiding somebody, it is because that person does not want guidance himself. Okay, if a person truly wants guidance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the way of guidance easy for him. And this is in Surah Al-Layl, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. The person who gives has taqwa and he believes in al-husna, the truth and the goodness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will make the way easy for him to get paradise, and we will guide him if he wants it. And the opposite person, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. The person who is a bakhil and he does not want guidance, he is careless, carefree about wanting guidance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we'll make the opposite way easy for him. And this is bundled into one word, which we use as tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq. You know, we ask Imam Sahib or any Shaykh, please, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me tawfiq to do a certain something. So tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only come when we, you know, do our bit, when we try our hardest. Make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me tawfiq to go for hajj. What efforts did you make for hajj? Did you find out what the ticket prices are? Did you make an intention to go this year? Did you save up to go for hajj? Did you intend that this year, inshallah, I'm going to make it a target of mine that I'm going to go for Hajj in 2008 or 2009. Unless you do that, it's never going to come into being. The tawfiq will not come until you actually step forth and make an effort for it. So here, Allah says, فَمَن يَهْدِي مَن أَضَلَّ اللَّهُ. Who can guide the person that Allah has misguided, and Allah misguides that person who doesn't want guidance and who does not make an effort for it. It's not Allah's fault that that person is misguided. He doesn't want guidance himself. And this is what it means. وَمَا لَهُم مِّن نَاصِرِينَ. For them, there will be no helper. There's another thing that the Kufar of Quraysh used to do, and this was that they used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters. And they used to say that angels, the malaika, are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place in the Quran that how is it that you do not want girls for yourself, as it's well documented, that they felt disgraced when they had daughters for themselves, but when it came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was okay for them to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters. And this was, again, something that was part of the misguidance that the people had in committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they wanted for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what they didn't want for themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. So, straighten your face for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حَنِيفًا. حَنِيفًا means with focus. Be completely focused for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get into His deen completely. Don't go right or left. Don't do everything halfway. You know, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. O people of Iman, enter into Islam completely. Don't be like halfway here and halfway there. When a person actually focuses his whole deen for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then opens up the ways for him. And we heard at the end of the previous surah, Surah Al-Ankabut, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. That person who strives for our sake, what is striving? He wants to make juhud for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he makes an effort for it. Allah says, most certainly, we will open up our ways for him. But first you have to make that effort. You cannot just wait in your house and, you know, Allah is not guiding me. Okay, it has to be your effort yourself, and you have to want to get guided, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the ways for you. So here Allah says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. For the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go and be very focused. Don't step right or left. Be on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us through his beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, through the Quran and the Sunnah, and through the efforts of the ulama. We have to follow that deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. This is the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put every single human being upon. That every single human being, he has within him that fitrah to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even that atheist who all, you know, through his life, he complains and he doesn't believe in God. You know, an example is given to about a person, for example, he jumps out of a plane with a parachute and his parachute doesn't open. Okay, he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. He jumps out of the plane, his parachute doesn't open, his reserve chute doesn't open. So what is he going to do now? What is his fitrah right now? Is he going to start praying or no? He's going to start praying. Okay, even though he's been claiming all along he doesn't believe in God, but within himself there is that fitrah that he's been denying all this time, that is within him, that there has to be a higher power somewhere. There has to be a God somewhere. There has to be a creator somewhere. And that fitrah is inborn. We are born with that fitrah to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La tabdila li khalqi Allah. There is no changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First that first fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayha, we probably heard the hadith many times. Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitra. All mawluds, all children, they are born with this fitrah. And then what happens is within the household that they are born in, the parents turn that person into a Jew or a Christian or whatever, that household is practicing. But when the person is reminded and talked to, that fitrah can be awakened again. And this is what happens. Many people, when they come back to Islam, they feel that they've come back home. They feel more comfortable than in anything that they've been feeling throughout their lives. Okay, so this is what that fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. What does لا تبديل لخلق الله mean? What, there is no changing for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no changing for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One meaning is, some scholars say, that we should not change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with, we should be accepting of that. That's why the scholars say that some things that a person does to his body that are not within the natural creation of a human being, a person, if he does it, then that is haram. It's not permissible for a person to do that. So, if a person has been created, you know, he's perfectly fine, his face is fine, there is nothing wrong with it, and then he gets plastic surgery. So, there's not, just for vanity's sake, it's not permissible to do that because of this verse. Tattoos, you are making permanently disfiguring your body, that body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So tattooing your body is not permissible. The permanent tattoos, it's not permissible to do that. And so on and so forth. Anything that a person does that changes the natural shape of his body, it is not permissible. Now, if a person, for example, is born disfigured, you know, he has a cleft palate, it's called, where he has some disfiguration on his face, and he needs to change that, then it's permissible to do that. Because now the person is not natural, his natural look is unnatural. Okay, the look that he's born with is unnatural. Or a woman, she starts getting a beard. Okay, now to do something about that beard, she has to have laser treatment. It's unnatural for a woman to have a beard. So she starts taking a laser treatment. So that doesn't apply. That ruling does not apply. It's permissible for her to do that because it's not natural for a woman to have a beard. Okay, but if you go against the natural thing, so if a woman, if a man, for example, he has a beard and he tries to do something which doesn't allow his beard to grow anymore, that would be haram because he's changing the natural creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, لا تبديل لخلق الله, this is one meaning. There is no changing for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another meaning is that it is related to the discussion that we've been talking about here about the fitrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fitrah that everybody has within them, nobody can change that fitrah that is within us. That fitrah that Allah has put within us of tawheed and worshipping one God, one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody can take away that fitrah from us. So that is the meaning of لا تبديل لخلق الله. That is, that nobody can take away that iman or belief that one has naturally within himself. And yet another meaning is, لا تبديل لخلق الله, there is no changing for the khalq, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be changed. Once the Prophet has said that this is halal or this is haram, this is permissible, this is not permissible, then there is no questioning after that. When anything is clear-cut in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot question it. And this is the difference between dalil qat'i, something which has been clarified to us from the Qur'an and the Sunnah, we cannot change it. Okay? And other adillah which are not so clear, which have room for ijtihad, then of course there is flexibility in that. But other than that, something that has been clarified to us, that cannot be changed. And this is another meaning of لا تبديل لخلق الله, that nobody can change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning nobody should change the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ, this is the straight deen or the proper deen that is, al-qayyim means that is standing and grounded, something that cannot be moved. That deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent for us, it is a deen al-qayyim. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but most people, they do not know this. They do not know this because they haven't been guided, or even if they've been guided, they don't want to take guidance That's why they do not know. مُنِيبِينَ إِلَيْهِ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Now this verse is related to the very beginning of the previous verse. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the humans to be steadfast and to observe the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, going into more detail, munibina ilayhi, making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inaba means to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person commits a sin, he makes tawbah. The word tawbah means to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So munibina means to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّقُوهُ, and fear him or be aware of him. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ, and establish the salah. وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and don't be from amongst those people that commit shirk. So in that verse there are a few things that have been mentioned. It's mentioned that Umar radiallahu anhu passed by Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. It's mentioned in the riwayah, فَقَالُ عُمَرْ مَا قِوَامُ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ. What is the qiwam, means the sign of this ummah, on which this ummah is established? What are the things upon which this ummah is established? So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu says, ثَلَاثٌ وَيْهِ الْمُنَجِّيَاتِ. There are three things, and if a person observes those three things, then those things will save him. What are they? Al-ikhlas. First and foremost, sincerity. Having ikhlas within himself, and being worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, this is the first thing. وَهِيَ الْفِطْرَةِ. This is the fitrah that one has to worship only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فِطْرَةُ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرُ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. وَالصَّلَاةِ وَهِيَ الْمِلَّةِ. The second thing is observing the salat, and this is the millah, and this is the thing that a person has to observe. This is the second thing, the salat, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالطَّاعَةِ وَهِيَ الْعِصْمَةِ. Being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what is called al-isma. Isma means the leading a pure life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالَ عُمَرْ صَدَقْتْ. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard that, he said, you have told the truth. So all of these things are mentioned here. Inaba to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making tawbah, having taqwa, establishing the salah, and not committing shirk. مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا. There are some people who split up their deen, or they basically farraqu deenahum, meaning they made differences in their deen and made ikhtilaf in their deen and basically made people confused in their deen, invented new things in the deen, and you know, the pure and pristine Islam that was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophets, they changed the deen. And this is what happened in the previous nations. The previous nations, the prophets were sent to them. For a while they practiced what they were taught, and then they started changing and making innovations and so on, to a degree that the deen was completely changed, and they became into groups. وَكَانُوا شِيَعَ. They became groups. Shia, the word Shia is, the Sunnis and the Shiites. The word Shia is from this word, Shia, because they became a separate group from the mainstream Muslims, which are known as the Sunnis. Okay, Shia, and the plural of Shia is Shia. This is which is mentioned over here. Groups. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. And every group, whatever was with them, they became happy with it. Okay, so whatever they changed their own deen to, they became happy with it. And they said, this is our deen, and nobody should change it, which we've been seeing this in our forefathers. We don't need to change it. We are happy with it, and that's it. So some people who don't want guidance, they will have that kind of an attitude. Going on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَإِذَا مَسَّ النَّاسَ ضُرٌّ دَعَوْا رَبَّهُمْ مُنِيبِينَ إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَذَاقَهُمْ مِنْهُ رَحْمَةً إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. This example is given throughout the Quran, and this is of the human being who, when he is in problems, he will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what the Quraysh used to do. The Quraysh, they used to worship one Allah. They used to worship one God, but they said, okay, he has this helper for the rain, this helper for the crops, this helper for this, this helper for this. So, but when it came down to any kind of big problem, then they used to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, again, we have, although we would never admit it within ourselves, but we have that kind of attitude too. Okay? Just one example, for a person, for example, if he gets sick, okay, what happens? He will, first of all, take over-the-counter medication. And then if the over-the-counter medication doesn't work, he will go to the doctor. If the doctor can't help him, then he'll go to a specialist. When the specialist cannot help him and tells him that, you know, this illness is something that is we cannot do anything about, then he will do what he's supposed to do in the beginning, which is make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the time, he will go through all of these different stages, ultimately to decide, now I have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So what happened in the first place? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not cure a person in the first place that he didn't turn to him. So indirectly we are just like the people of Quraysh that, you know, had their faith in the different statues and godlings that they used to worship. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that example. وَإِذَا مَسَّ النَّاسَ ضُرٌّ دَعَوْا رَبَّهُمْ مُنِيبِينَ إِلَيْهِ When the human being is touched with any kind of harm, they call their Lord مُنِيبِينَ إِلَيْهِ only turning to Him, returning to Him. ثُمَّ إِذَا أَذَاقَهُمْ مِنْهُ رَحْمَةً When He makes them taste from any kind of His mercy, إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ يُشْرِكُونَ A big group from amongst them starts committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the problem is over. Okay, now we go back to our small gods again. Okay, so this is what they used to do. لِيَكْفُرُوا بِمَا آتَيْنَاهُمْ فَتَمَتَّعُوا فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ So that they could make kufr with what we had given them. Or they could be ungrateful with what we have given them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَمَتَّعُوا Okay, you carry on having your benefit in this world. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. And it's not a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is al-amr huna lit-tawbikh. Tawbikh means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning. And He is, you know, like we say to a child, for example, who's playing around, he's supposed to be learning his lesson. You tell him, okay, you carry on playing. I'm going to deal with you in a minute. So you're not telling him to carry on playing. You want him to go study. You want him to go read. But the way you say it, okay, you carry on playing. Okay, I'm going to get you in a minute. Okay, فَتَمَتَّوْا here, Allah is saying, okay, carry on enjoying yourself. فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ You're going to find out. فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ You are going to find out what's going to happen. أَمْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانًا فَهُوَ يَتَكَلَّمُ بِمَا كَانُوا بِهِ يُشْرِكُونَ Did we send any kind of a proof for them? Any one kind of proof that they should name, that they are using that proof to prove that these gods that they are worshipping, they are actually partners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one proof. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أَمْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانًا Or did we send upon them any kind of proof? فَهُوَ يَتَكَلَّمُ بِمَا كَانُوا بِهِ يُشْرِكُونَ So that he speaks about it, that why he is committing shirk. Okay, if you have a proof, tell us what the proof is. But there is no proof. You are just following your whims and your desires and you're worshipping these other things. وَإِذَا أَذَقْنَا النَّاسَ رَحْمَةً فَرِحُوا بِهَا Allah says, and when we make the human taste mercy, he becomes happy with it. The natural tendency of every human being that everything is going well and there's no sickness in the household, a person is making good money at his job and the kids are growing up and beautiful and everything is fine. And a person, he thinks Allah is happy with me and everything is, you know, as they say, hunky-dory and everything is rosy, everything is fine. فَرِحُوا بِهَا But وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ إِذَا هُمْ يَقْنَطُونَ But if any kind of difficulty comes about, if any kind of hardship comes about because of what their hands sent forward, because of their sins, you know, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings trials in this world as a punishment for us so that, and particularly for Muslims, so that it becomes a means of our forgiveness of sins so that we are not punished for it in the hereafter. So, بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ means because of what their hands sent forward, because of their deeds, what happens to the human being? إِذَا هُمْ يَقْنَطُونَ They develop قُنُوط. قُنُوط means, in this, not قُنُوط with a ta, with a ta. قُنُوط meaning they become hopeless. Or they get depression and they have to take antidepressants and they have to see a therapist. And this is something that a person of Iman, he does not have. A person who is steadfast, he has tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not fall for these things. It is just a phase that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting me through. It is just a test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting me through. And he then turns the responsibility and puts everything in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this concept of putting everything in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is known as tafweed. Tafweed al-amri ilallah. That, you know, turning and saying that Allah is taking care of everything, I trust Him, and everything will be fine. I have to do what I'm supposed to do, make dua to Him, and worship Him, and continue my life as I'm supposed to be doing, and not lose hope. And that only comes with Iman. This concept of tafweed is a very, very powerful concept, and a powerful thing that all Muslims have. It is a huge weapon for us. A Muslim should not have to see a psychiatrist. He should not have to see a therapist. He should not have to have counseling. Because he has this weapon that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, that is complete trust and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is called tafweed, and we should all strive for that. But a person, when he doesn't have Iman, then he becomes hopeless, as this verse is telling us. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Again, look around you. Okay, you're having difficulty in your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving rizq everywhere. He's given rizq to the birds. He's given rizq to the lions. He's given rizq to the cows, the sheep, even the little insects that are walking in your house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not depriving them of rizq. So you think Allah is going to deprive you of rizq? Allah is going to deprive you of sustenance? You are making such a big deal out of something small that is happening in your life. You lost your job. It's no big deal. Go find another job. Allah will provide for you. Okay, so this is something. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا. Do they not see that Allah spreads the rizq to whom He wants? وَيَخْدِرْ. And sometimes He tightens it. This is a fact of life. There will always be ups and downs in everybody's life. So just take the downs with the ups and don't lose hope. Okay, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna fi dhalika la'ayatin liqawmi yu'minun. Indeed, in this are signs, many signs for people who have Iman. Ultimately, it boils down to your Iman and your faith, and that in turn will affect your tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that in turn will make you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make the tafweed that we're talking about, and make you turn all of your problems to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the thing that we need to strive for. But the bottom line is, and this is what is mentioned here, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. In this situation that has just been mentioned, there are many, many signs for the people who have Iman. Iman is the fundamental thing. It is the bottom line that we need to strive for. And with Iman will come all of the rest of the things that we've just mentioned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said in it.